welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. A Merry Christmas to all of you. Glad you could be with us for this Sunday in the Christmas season. We're going to go back in time a little bit and have an interview that we shared earlier with Chris Bergwald. I'll tell you more about that in just a bit. Renee Kranz will also have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings, though, for this Sunday. Brianna Wingen with the first and second reading, and Deacon Bill Radia with the gospel.
A reading from the book of Sirach. God sets a father in honor over his children. A mother's authority he confirms over her sons. Whoever honors his father atones for sins and preserves himself from them. When he prays, he is heard. He stores up riches who reveres his mother. Whoever honors his father is gladdened by children, and when he prays, is heard. Whoever may revere his father will live a long life. Who obeys his father brings comfort to his mother. My son, take care of your father when he is old. Grieve him not as long as he lives. Even if his mind fail, be considerate of him. Revile him not all the days of his life. Kindness to a father will not be forgotten, firmly planted against the debt of your sins. A house raised in justice to you. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if one has a grievance against another. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also do. And over all these put on love, that is, the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ control your hearts, and the peace into which you were also called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as in all wisdom you teach and admonish one another, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, be subordinate to your husbands, as is proper in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and avoid any bitterness towards them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this is pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, so they may not become discouraged. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When the Magi had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I tell you. Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. He stayed there until the death of Herod, that what the Lord had said through the prophet might be fulfilled. "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod had died, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." He rose, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go back there. And because he had been warned in a dream, he departed for the region of Galilee. He went and dwelt in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. "He shall be called a Nazarene." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week. From the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Renee Kranz.
Bishop Lawrence T. Persico, December 17th, announced the opening of the canonization cause for Gertrude Barber, a renowned Erie, Pennsylvania educator and Catholic woman of faith who dedicated her life to serving children and adults with intellectual disabilities and their families. Bishop Persico made the announcement during a gathering of supporters and members of the Barber family with staff, students, and adults at the Barber National Institute. 5 days earlier, on the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, he issued a formal decree opening the cause. A Catholic member of Congress and the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom welcomed the U.S. Department of State's redesignation of nine nations as countries of particular concern for carrying out or tolerating systematic, ongoing, egregious violations of religious freedom. State Department officials maintained the designation of Myanmar, China, Eritrea, Iran, North Korea, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Tajikistan, and Turkmenistan in a December 18th report, following the commission's recommendation in April. Representative Chris Smith, Republican of New Jersey, said December 20th that Congress had raised concerns about China's effort to sinicize religion in the world's largest nation. Actions have included the seizure of Bibles, removal of the halal designation from food products, church demolitions, and the removal of loudspeakers and Islamic crescents and domes. He also cited the need for U.S. officials to pay special attention to events in Eritrea as people continue to flee persecution in the East African nation. Smith has long championed religious freedom globally. After accepting the resignation of 92-year-old Cardinal Angelo Sodano as Dean of the College of Cardinals, Pope Francis changed the norms of the office so that the dean would be elected to a 5-year term, renewable only once. Cardinal Sodano, the former Vatican Secretary of State, was elected dean in April 2005 after Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, dean under St. John Paul II, was elected Pope Benedict XVI. In his apostolic letter issued on his own accord, Pope Francis said that given the size of the College of Cardinals and the workload being dean entails, he decided it was best for the office to have a defined term of service. The letter was released by the Vatican December 21st after Cardinal Sodano performed his last official task as dean by offering Pope Francis Christmas greetings on behalf of the cardinals and top officials of the Roman Curia. Two U.S. archbishops urged support of a House concurrent resolution that calls for comprehensive medical care over suicide or assisted suicide for patients nearing the end of their lives. We must do what we can to uphold the dignity of life, cherish the lives of all human beings, and work to prevent all suicides, said a joint December 20th statement from Archbishop Joseph F. Nauman of Kansas City, Kansas, and Archbishop Paul S. Coakley of Oklahoma City. The resolution has 10 co-sponsors. We urge the U.S. Congress to do all it can to protect Americans from this cruel practice and to ensure those who are ill, disabled, or facing the end of life receive comprehensive medical and palliative care instead of a facilitated suicide. With all the news a Catholic can use, I'm Renee Kranz with the Bishop's Bulletin.
Thanks, Renee. Let's now go to the interview from 2 years ago with Dr. Chris Bergwald. It's about incarnation and missionary discipleship, still very relevant topics for us today. I hope you enjoy this. Today we want to talk about really I guess it fits with Advent, but probably a little bit better with the Christmas season. I want to talk about, obviously, the incarnation, Jesus coming to us in human form. That's the proper definition, or at least a close one on what the incarnation means. But we want to talk about it in terms of what does it mean to us as this term that now is being used an awful lot in the church, missionary discipleship.
Right.
And I thought it's an interesting thing to consider what the incarnation means to us as we ponder what it means to be a missionary disciple.
Yeah. Yep. I think so often right now, of course, part of the normal things, we're celebrating Christmas and the busyness, especially when Christmas falls on a Monday. I mean, yep. Things are in the practicalities for many families, very crazy and busy. But if we can try to, as we try to every year, sit back and think about what this feast and the season we're about to begin now, or that we're just beginning the Christmas season, means. But I think, yeah, especially when you proposed earlier this month, Jerry, the idea of what does this mean for his missionary disciples, I was really intrigued by the idea.
Yeah, and I have no idea what the answer is, but I just think that if we are going to consider ourselves as missionary disciples, which we are called to do,
yep.
which the Holy Father continually now is talking about,
yep.
which the church in this country is more and more talking about based on the synod this or the gathering this summer, and we know more to come on all of that. It's an important thing for us to ponder.
Yeah, I was my own. Yeah, I completely agree with you, just what you just said. So, sort of just diving in a little bit, at least one particular direction. My every Advent, I try to do some spiritual reading. And for me this year, you know, we've been talking a lot about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ,
right?
As disciples of his. I realized, I heard secondhand from somebody, something similar about the saints who are our older siblings, brothers and sisters in Christ as fellow disciples. And the advice was get to know them too. And I realized as it was the true for me about God for a long time, I knew about God, but I didn't know him personally very well. Same thing has been true for me with the saints. So where am I going with this? Catherine of Siena is the saint who I really have sought this Advent to get to know better through reading her writings. And Jerry, she just made some beautiful comments about, so what's the connection here? The incarnation and the humility of God in becoming not just man, which is massive enough, but he could have, you know, God could have just popped into it. Jesus could have just shown up at the Jordan.
Right.
Didn't have to go through the normal process of growth, but he chose to. And the fact that we are today, tonight, tomorrow, for the couple of weeks ahead, we're going to be celebrating the fact that God took on human nature and began, just like you and I did, a helpless child, unable to speak. And this is God. Mm-hmm. What does that mean for me as I seek to grow as a missionary disciple? The way that Catherine put it in one of her letters, I was just thinking, he was silent. As a baby, he couldn't talk. Mm-hmm. And for how long was he silent? And yet he bore witness. Similar, Mary and Joseph bearing witness, not by preaching, not by giving amazing homilies, but just the ordinary course of their daily lives. Those are just some of the things that occurred to me when I thought about this topic.
Well, and I think that's incredibly appropriate because, as you mentioned, this time of year in particular, we can get so caught up in the stuff,
right?
In the events, in the what did I forget to do?
Yep.
All of the busyness, and forget about what we really are about, and that is welcoming Jesus Christ, the baby, into our lives, and then becoming his disciples.
Right, becoming his disciples. So modeling him. So how can we as adults model the witness of an infant, the infant God-man? What does that look like for you and I as grown men to try to seek to become more and more like not only the adult Jesus, but even the infant Jesus as well? And that's where the writings of St. Catherine along the lines I was just speaking of really intrigued me. I'm probably a little quick sometimes to speak. And sometimes
never notice that.
Yeah. Thanks, Jerry. I thought you were going to be nice.
On radio, it's a good thing.
That's right.
This is a compliment.
You're right. I am one of those people who I probably could learn from the silent infant Jesus a little bit more, or just again from the witness of Mary and Joseph as my big siblings as disciples of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I Joseph is one for me that I think about all the time because, again, we live in a sense an ordinary life. Mm-hmm. Most of us mm-hmm. do. We're not out there. We're not famous. We're not doing groundbreaking work in a lot of different areas. Most of us, we're just living ordinary lives.
Yep.
And there's a power in that I think we sometimes don't recognize.
Yep.
And that's where what you're talking about with these saints in our sense, our older brothers and sisters can teach us.
Exactly. I think so. Joseph fits perfectly with that, and also with what I was just saying about the silence of the infant Jesus in the Gospels. The number of words of St. Joseph's that are recorded is zero.
Zero.
Yeah. Of course, he spoke, but the gospel writers, the evangelists, don't tell us what he ever said. And I think that's probably on purpose on the Holy Spirit's part.
I think so, too.
Inspiring them, that the authors, that they never included actual words of Joseph that says something.
Yeah. For those that are less familiar or maybe aren't regular listeners and have heard us talk about this, for others, they might think it's ad nauseum, but I want to make sure we, again, go back one more time and talk about what missionary
yep.
discipleship is, because some might say, well, I get what you're talking about in a way, but what does that really mean in the bigger picture?
Yeah, so we're all called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means to be a follower. The ancient meaning of the word was pupil, but by Jesus's time, among not only the Jews of the Holy Land, but pagans as well, Gentiles, like, anyway, it doesn't matter. It meant to follow somebody, to mimic them.
Right.
You are the apprentice to a master, not just a student to a teacher, but really an apprentice to them, to a master.
Could have been true in other fields of work
exactly.
as well, right?
Yes, exactly. Right. So I think of ancient Greek philosophers had disciples. Mm-hmm. So that's what it means to be a disciple. So to be a disciple of Jesus, we don't just want to know what he said and taught and live by those, but we want to mimic his way of life, to live the way that he did, etc. That's what it means to be a disciple. Missionary disciple is a little bit of a redundant phase. Francis even says that. I mean, to be a disciple should mean that you are a missionary disciple. But why do we emphasize that? Well, if we're following Christ and we've come to know him personally, that's why we're following him, then we should desire to share that encounter with Christ with others. Mm-hmm. If we're really following Jesus, if we're really a disciple, we would want to be a missionary as well. I had a really funny conversation last month in November. Somebody who was trying to grow as a missionary disciple. And, I said, it doesn't mean you have to go. And I was going to say to like China or Saudi Arabia. Did I tell you about this?
She said
to Texas. I said, well, sure. Yeah. No, you don't have to go to Texas even.
If you feel called. But,
So often to be a mission, go ahead.
It's at home.
It's at home.
Yeah.
We talk about working the plot of the vineyard that we're called to work. Usually we're already standing in it. We don't have to go hundreds of miles. We don't have to go very far at all to find the field that we're called to harvest. We're in it.
I do think that this time of year is a great time to be thinking about this with some intentionality. And that's another word that often gets used with discipleship is intentional, to be intentional about it. But I don't think most of us are naturally or normally intentional about our faith. For whatever reason, we just don't take the kind of time to think about it in the way that we should. This is a great time of year to do that.
It is. And to be fair to us, Jerry, I don't think we're naturally intentional about anything.
Hmm.
We have to decide. The nature of being intentional means you have to decide, I'm going to do this.
I guess that's true.
So I don't think we should expect ourselves to be intentional about our faith accidentally. You can't really. But you're right. It's a good time. I loved, the Bishop's Bulletin theme for this year. The start of the church year was with Advent, but now we're about to come to the calendar year. And I think it's a great time, if you haven't already, with the beginning of the church year early this month, maybe now with the beginning of the new calendar year, you can think about, how can I be more intentional about my discipleship?
Mm-hmm.
My go-to way lately has been praying more.
And that's, I think, important that we talk about that, because we know people that are listening to this program are at all kinds of different places on their faith journey. They may not even be on a faith journey that they're aware of.
Yep.
And so I think it is important for us to talk a little bit about what that might look like for different people at different stages of their life. So let's start with the very beginning. If I am a person who has not been a particularly faithful or active religious person, what might I do if I feel a little tinkling that I maybe ought to do something?
Yeah, I think, first of all, I would say that almost certainly that is God's grace working in you right now. If you become aware, like there's a little itch at the back of your mind, so to speak, be attentive to that. But okay, so be attentive. What does that mean? What are you saying, Chris, that I should do? Well, maybe if you're already Catholic, maybe go to Mass, go to confession if it's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to, a lot of people, I've talked to more than one person who's been away from the church for a long time, and they have an idea that it's really complicated to come back.
Right.
And I said, it's great news. All you have to do is go to confession.
That's really it.
That's all. And no special form of, there's not like a confession isn't distinguished by
right.
how long you've been away, how long it's been.
The line doesn't divide.
Right. So if you're Catholic already, it's super easy. And maybe you're not ready for that. Just go to Mass. Just do that simple
stuff. Sit in the back.
Yep.
If you can get yourself in the door.
Yep.
Maybe that's all you can do.
Yep.
To start with.
Yep.
Start there.
Yep. Start there. I, of course, our priests love to have the conversations with folks like that,
mm-hmm.
where if you've been away for a while, our priests, whether it's inside the confession or outside, and I think, Jerry, a lot of people, Catholics, even those who are more regular Mass goers and so on, have this idea that our priests are somehow unapproachable or something. That thing could be further from the truth. Just call the parish office and say, set up an appointment. I'd like to visit with Father.
Yep.
At a time that works for you and for him, he would love to visit with you. I can say that categorically about all of our parish priests.
I think that's fair. If you're not Catholic and you're hearing this and you go, maybe there's something I ought to look into. What do I do?
So I think a similar thing, obviously maybe not confession yet, but go to Mass, sit in the back and get familiar with it. Maybe it was the parish priest. But also if there's a Catholic that you know, and I'm guessing if you're feeling this urge, this if you've got the itch, there's probably a Catholic who you know. Maybe just start to ask them, you know, what is it about your questions about the Catholic Church?
Yeah.
Feel free. Again, your parish priest, excuse me, or myself. I mean, there's some anonymity sometimes that people like where you can just call on the phone and ask questions.
Right.
Give us a call at the diocese and we're happy to answer any questions you might have.
I get some, I see the email that comes to the diocesan website.
Yep.
There's occasionally some that come to the website. Feel free to do that.
Yep.
It's very anonymous. It can be very anonymous if you choose it to be so.
Yep.
And we're happy to try to help you in that way. What about if I'm just not even able to get myself to church? What if I just talk to the big guy? Is that okay?
So I think I did say earlier, I think prayer is a big thing. So,
but I'm not a prayer. I've never been a prayer. So what? How do I? I don't even know how to start there. I don't know how to start. What do I do?
Talk to the big guy, and it's just that.
It is.
Now it is. It might be a little bit odd if you've never been a prayer before. You might feel like you're talking to yourself. Because frankly, sometimes I've been a prayer for a long time, and sometimes I feel like I'm talking to myself. But yeah. I know that's not the case.
No, there's an intentionality that that is required, I think.
And you know.
That I want to speak to God.
Yep. There's an author, a speaker, Peter Kraft, who he wrote what he called it the skeptic's prayer. God loves the prayers of everyone. I think he especially loves the prayer of the skeptic because it's an honest prayer. It can be, Lord, I don't know if you really exist, but if you do, and then you fill in the blank.
Whatever it is. Yeah. And I would just say from experience, my own experience, you may not feel a big difference immediately, but I'll guarantee you, if you look backwards after, if you're faithful with that, just simple prayer like that, look back after a few weeks, you'll be surprised.
Yeah, I think, give it some time, just do it a little bit every day, just a simple heartfelt prayer like that every day. And you're right. I think you a little time goes by and you look back and you might be surprised.
You might be surprised. All right. Now, what if I'm a little bit deeper into my faith? What if I'm, I'm pretty regular about attending Mass and I'm maybe even involved in the parish a little bit, but now I hear this talk about intentional discipleship, about missionary discipleship, and I go, well, what does that mean for me?
Right.
Am I called to something more?
Right.
You mean I got to do more?
So this is where, going back to the word that I used earlier and the word that we've used a lot on Catholic Views over the last few years, relationship. If this is a relationship, then you tell me. If this is a relationship, and if I said to my wife, you mean I got to do more in this marriage thing?
Wait, I've been at this all these years. I got to do more.
It's more. What are you asking? Are you impose these rules on? No.
Yeah.
We do get this idea. A lot of Catholics have this idea, and I get it in many ways. But that our faith is about rules and ritual and so on. Just at the very surface level, that's true. But if you look deeper, it is really about a rich relationship. And like any relationship, either I'm growing closer, we're growing closer, or we're growing further away. There's no standing still.
I really like that, Chris. And I think that actually helps me even as I think about this. Because if I am in relationship, healthy relationship, I automatically want to do something.
Right.
I automatically understand that there's some framework around this and maybe there's even some rules or some guidelines that are going to help me go even deeper.
Right.
That's all we're talking about.
That's all we're talking about. Everything that looks like rules and ritual and regulation, if it is even that for real, is about helping me grow in relationship, a real rich relationship with God. I think the key for me, Jerry, if you're somebody who's pretty faithful, pretty regular, it's the interplay of knowledge and love. You can't love what you don't know, and the degree to which you love, you want to know more. And so if you are faithful, maybe getting involved in a Bible study, maybe looking at the catechism a little bit. It can be an intimidating book to look at. If you ever have seen a copy, it's certainly a thick book, but what has God revealed to us through his son in the church about who he is and what he desires for us? If I'm going to love God above all else with all my heart, soul, strength, and so on, maybe I need to do a little bit more learning as a disciple of his son.
I want to go back now as we have just a couple minutes left, Chris, and go back to where we started, and that is the interplay of missionary discipleship and the incarnation, and really focus on the incarnation so that we understand what it is we're talking about. I appreciated so much what you said about the saints. I think that's a part of what we're saying today, but help us now to kind of wrap this up, if you will. The sense of the incarnation, which we celebrate now in this Christmas season.
Yep. So we're celebrating now the birth of Jesus Christ. So that means that we, as Christians, what we believe and have believed for 2,000 years is that the creator of the cosmos became one of us. And that 2,000 years ago, in a stable outside of Bethlehem, a tiny newborn boy was and is still God himself. And if that does, even Jerry, as I'm saying that to you now, I want to pause and give dead air. I'm not going to. Yeah. It's bad radio.
You'd like to drop the mic.
I would. Yeah. But if that doesn't give me pause to sit back and think and just be in awe, it's the third joyful mystery. It's one of the mysteries of the Rosary for a reason. We should be awed by it. I'm not always awed by it. I live, breathe, and teach this for a living.
Right.
But I'm not always awed by it that the way that I should be. In the celebration of Christmas, we're celebrating the fact that this little baby was God himself. And I should be awed by that. And for me right now, as I'm telling you, Jerry, it just makes me want to get to know him even more. And again, to share that relationship with other people. How can you not be moved by a God who such humility became a tiny baby in his mother's womb and then was born in a manger? In the feeding trough for animals. What does that say about this God who loves us so deeply?
It says a lot.
It says a lot.
There's a lot to think about. And again, I want to encourage our listeners, wherever you're at, if you're not on a journey yet, if you are in the faith journey, wherever you're at, pick it up a little. It's an opportunity. This moment, this Christmas season is a moment to reflect, to dig deeper, and to grow.
Grow in relationship.
All right. Chris Bergall, thanks again for being with us on Catholic Views.
You bet, Jerry.
Renee, Christmas season goes on a while and lots of different things within this season, including...
Yes, including we have New Year's Masses coming up.
Yeah, for Mary, Mother of God, the Feast of Mary, Mother of God, and it is a holy day of obligation. Opportunity.
I like that better.
Obligation and opportunity. So I encourage everybody to check the Mass times. Be a little bit different. Every parish does it a little bit different.
Yeah.
So check that out. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back next week.